This is Healthline, a joint venture of WTIC News Talk 1080 and Yale Cancer Center. Yale Cancer Center is a resource for cancer programs throughout Connecticut, developing new advances in prevention, screening, diagnosis, and treatment. On Healthline, you'll hear from some of the leading doctors in the country. Healthline is not intended to provide medical advice. Yale Cancer Center urges you to consult with a qualified physician in your community for diagnosis and for answers to your medical questions. And now, our co-hosts, oncologists Ken Miller and Ed Chu.
Good morning and welcome to Healthline. My name is Ken Miller and I'm the director of the survivorship program at the Yale Cancer Center in New Haven. I'm here in the WTIC studios with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, who's the chief adult oncologist at the Yale Cancer Center. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center is our way of providing you with the most up-to-date information on cancer care every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. here on this station, WTIC News Talk 1080. Our Healthline program features some of the nation's leading oncologists and cancer specialists who are on the forefront of the battle to fight cancer right here in our state of Connecticut.
Each week, Ed and I are joined by a different expert from the Yale Cancer Center. Together, we'll discuss the myths about cancer, the latest treatment available to people with cancer, and advances in clinical research. Our goal is to give you help by sharing information and also to give you hope. And if you'd like to submit a question about cancer to Healthline, please email us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call 1-888-234-4YCC. We will try to answer your questions on the air today or in a future broadcast. And also, if you're interested in listening to past editions of Healthline, or if you'd like to learn more about a specific kind of cancer, all of our shows are now posted in audio and written format on the Yale Cancer Center website, which is www.yalecancercenter.org, all one word.
Today, our program focuses on the diagnosis and treatment of pediatric cancers. And our special guest is Dr. Jack Van Hoff, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Chief of the Section of Pediatric Oncology here at the Yale Cancer Center. Jack, thanks so much for being with us today on Healthline.
You're welcome, certainly.
Jack, I want to start out by asking you, what types of cancer do children develop?
Childhood cancer is very different than adult cancers. The most common adult cancers either relate to continuous hormone exposure, such as prostate or breast cancer, or to exposure in the environment, such as lung cancer or colon cancer. And children really don't get those types of cancers. Childhood cancers, the most common type is leukemia. Brain tumors are about the second most common type. But almost all of these cancers develop from what would be considered embryonal tissue, or tissue that is normally present as a fetus is developing, but then becomes more mature as the baby gets towards term or birth. We feel that many of the childhood cancers actually arise from this primitive tissue that never fully matures, and then at some point a second event causes that to start growing again in a way that's not appropriate and actually become a cancer.
Jack, maybe you can give our listeners a sense of how common pediatric cancers is, say, just here in our state of Connecticut. So how many kiddies, children, develop cancer each year?
Yeah. So one of the challenges for childhood cancer, and maybe a fortunate challenge, is that it is very uncommon. So developing programs means you need to be prepared to treat a wide variety of cancers as a pediatric cancer specialist. There are about 130 plus minus cases of cancer in children each year in the state of Connecticut. That translates out into the risk of about 1 in 500 of developing childhood cancer between the ages of 0 and 15 years. Again, in comparison with adults, this an adult between the ages of 60 and 75 years has about a 1 in 5 chance of getting cancer. So childhood cancers make up less than 1% of the cancer that we see in the state.
And thank goodness.
Yes, indeed.
You started talking a little bit about how childhood cancer is different than adults. In adults, we really can think of risk factors. Are there any risk factors that would put a child at higher risk of developing a cancer?
Many studies have been done, similar to studies that were looking for past exposures in adults who get cancer. And unlike some of the well-known exposures, such as smoking and lung cancer, there are very few exposures which cause a predictable increase in the risk of childhood cancer. We've looked for these, and even where careful studies show a slight elevation of the risk, the number of children with that type of cancer who've been exposed to that agent is extremely small. So for the most part, we're saying that we really can't identify the risk factors. We can't come to parents and say, avoid this. We don't really know what most of the risk factors are.
And Jack, what is known about the potential role of genetic factors?
There are undoubtedly genetic factors that play into this. But we do not have tests, for example, that a parent could ask for that would give them some idea of whether their child was at higher risk of cancer or not. There are a few very rare inherited syndromes that markedly increase the risk of cancer. Those all together maybe account for 1 to 2% of all the childhood cancers. So they really make up only a very small percentage of all the childhood cancers that are seen.
Now, certainly we know that in children who have Down syndrome, there is an increased risk for developing leukemia.
Yes, indeed. There's an increased risk of probably not just leukemia, but other cancers too as children age. And Down syndrome is actually probably one of the most common types of predisposing inherited or inborn, I should say, conditions that might increase a child's risk for cancer. For the most part, we're not so clear on just what it is about that that causes the increased risk of cancer.
So is there anything that you can suggest to the general pediatricians, you know, who typically would see children, right, in their offices as to what are some of the hallmark signs and symptoms that they should be made aware of?
So the some of the most common findings really would be a mass or a swelling. These are obvious things that would be very clear to a pediatrician that something serious is wrong. Many of the other symptoms, such as leukemia, will often present with anemia or with bruising or with infections. There are many other things which cause anemia, bruising, and infections. And so our comment to parents always, if they're concerned about their other children or they're concerned about the neighbor's children, or is that really to see a trained physician, see your pediatrician and have them go over these. They've been trained in the past to kind of tell the difference between anemia that's from a harmless sort of problem that's easily fixed versus something that may be much more serious.
I know in our case, as you probably know, so we have a three-year-old baby girl, and for whatever reason, she tends to have nosebleeds at night. Uh-huh. And the fact that, you know, my wife and I are medical oncologists, and we always think the worst, right? So my wife, I think the second or third time she had this massive nosebleed, says, you know, our daughter has leukemia.
Yeah.
Right, and we took her right to the pediatrician office, which fortunately was 2 minutes away, got a blood test, everything was entirely normal.
Yeah, and it's really good to approach your primary care provider with this. The pediatric oncologist is not the best person to see when you're concerned about something, because it's the primary care specialist that has the whole picture. Once they've decided that there's a bigger problem, then it's turned over to the specialist.
Jack, any other advice you'd give to parents about things that they might notice that should make them or prompt them to bring their child to the pediatrician? Any other things that you're concerned about?
So I think since childhood cancers can occur in so many different areas and cause so many different symptoms, we would say just repeated symptoms, things that keep coming back. If your child has a headache, that's not a big problem. But if he has a headache for 7 days in a row, that is a big problem, and that needs attention. If he bruises himself when he falls on the slide, it's not a problem. But if he starts to bruise very easily and you're seeing a lot of bruising, then that should be investigated. So repeated complaints about pain. If he has a pain in his leg after jumping, that's not a problem. But if he repeatedly complains of pain in his right thigh, then that may need further investigation.
Well, we'd like to remind you to email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu. And we're going to take a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about the treatment of pediatric cancers with Dr. Jack von Hoff.
the American Cancer Society estimates that in 2006, there will be over 62,000 new cases of melanoma in this country. 2,400 patients are diagnosed annually in Connecticut alone. While melanoma accounts for only 4% of skin cancer cases, it causes the most skin cancer deaths. Early detection is the key. When detected early, melanoma is easily treated and highly curable. However, patients with advanced melanoma have more hope than ever before. Each day, patients are surviving the disease due to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care. New treatment options and surgical techniques are giving melanoma survivors more hope than they've ever had before. Clinical trials are currently underway at Yale Cancer Center, Connecticut's only federally designated comprehensive cancer center, to test innovative new treatments for melanoma. Patients enrolled in these trials are given access to newly available medicines, which have not yet been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, brought to you as a public service by Yale Cancer Center. For more information, visit our website at yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guest, Dr. Jack von Hoff, an expert in the treatment of pediatric cancer at the Yale Cancer Center. Jack, let me start the second segment by asking you, how is treatment of children with cancer coordinated among specialists at the Yale Cancer Center? Is it a team effort, and who's on the team?
It is certainly very much a team effort. First of all, the pediatric oncologist is someone who's been trained specifically in the treatment of children with cancer. They generally do not treat adults with cancers, and their whole focus is on the care of children and children with serious cancer. They're only part of the team, though. The team will include surgeons who, again, are trained specifically in operating on children. They will include a radiation therapist sometime. And again, this is an individual at a large center like Yale who has been trained specifically in the treatment of children with cancer and the use of radiation therapy for children. Even such ancillary services as radiology or pathology are individuals who are specifically trained in looking at those studies in kids and in the type of diseases that children get. So it very much is a team effort. Our team meets on a weekly basis. We have what's called a tumor board where new cases are presented. And each of these individuals that I mentioned before is actually physically present in the room together. So if we look at a new case, we can actually look at the scans together. We can look at the pathology together. We can make a plan sitting in front of each other and kind of working very closely together.
And much like, I think, medical oncology for adults has really, I think, embraced this multidisciplinary approach. And, you know, most of our care is focused on the outpatient setting. Where's most of, you know, the treatments that you're giving to children taking place? In the inpatient setting, outpatient setting?
So a large part of it takes place in the outpatient clinic, and much of our treatment can be given right while the child is sitting in clinic. But there is a difference, really, between childhood cancer and adult treatment in that we tend to be a bit more aggressive. Kids' tumors in general, whether it's because they're this primitive sort of cell or not, tend to spread more easily than adult cancers. And we're more likely to use chemotherapy even in cancers that are localized at the time that they are diagnosed. So we tend to treat more aggressively. We're also willing to tolerate interference with normal life activities somewhat more in order to get the treatment in, because our goal is a lifelong result. It's not something to buy 5 or 6 years. It's something to cure the child. So we still have a fair amount of our treatment is done as an inpatient, even though the bulk of it does take place in the outpatient setting.
And I think one thing, probably a key point to emphasize to our listeners, pediatric cancers versus adult cancers, is where in the vast majority of the adult cancers, we don't have great treatments and we don't have the great cures still yet available. In pediatric cancers, really, there's tremendous hope and tremendous opportunity for really, as you say, you know, providing, you know, long disease-free survivals and even cures of patients.
Yeah, you know, 5-year survival rates for pediatric cancer as a whole now are about 80%. Now, that's wonderful when you look at it as an oncologist, When you look at that as a parent, though, that's really frightening. And we have to realize that when we talk to families as well, that what may seem good to me as an oncologist mm-hmm. is not necessarily good to a parent. But we have made tremendous headway in my lifetime. There's just no comparison to what things used to be and what they are currently.
You know, along those lines, very exciting things have happened. Can you tell us a little bit about childhood leukemia and how that's changed even during your career?
You know, I use the example sometime that when I was in grade school, no children with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, the most common type, were actually cured. They often went into remission, but the remission would last 1 or 2 years at the most. The leukemia always came back and they wound up dying from it. And now that same group of kids has a cure rate of about 78% to 80%. So it's just a night and day difference that has happened over, you know, a fairly short period of time.
Now, Jack, with those tremendous advances and those cures, they're also, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because I think we now appreciate there's sequelae, long-term complications from those effective treatments.
There certainly are, and in fact, this is a whole area of investigation in childhood cancer therapy, is dealing with and looking for the consequences of therapy and helping patients throughout the rest of their life. It's actually an area where we have a special clinic set up just for that at Yale, which actually is the only such clinic in the state of Connecticut. That's the Survivors Clinic, or Heroes Clinic, whose main focus is, once the risk of disease recurrence has passed, to really look at the consequences of therapy and to help patients, help young people get past that point and deal with some of those consequences in the most healthy way.
And maybe could you just expand a little bit on that and go into a little bit more detail about what are the specific consequences that you as a pediatric oncologist really pay close attention to?
Some of them are very serious, but extremely rare. For example, a second cancer. Some of the agents that we use to treat cancer are very powerful and cause a lot of damage and can increase your risk of getting another type of cancer. So we want to look very carefully for those. Those depend very much on what the agent was, even the age that you were treated at. So it's important that someone with a lot of knowledge and understanding is kind of doing the screening when it goes on. Some of them are more learning problems, or not so serious as a second cancer, but more common. We see in children who've had radiation therapy to the brain, or even in children who've been treated for leukemia without radiation, there are learning problems that are a result of the treatment. And these are things which are often we're able to deal with much more effectively, especially if we know what to look for, if we can do the testing in advance before the child gets into big trouble in school, and we can kind of outline changes or addition to the educational program such that the child can maximize his abilities yet.
Talking about the topic of survivorship, and thankfully there's a growing population of people that had childhood cancer and now are doing well. Any follow-up that you'd recommend for, you know, a young adult who was treated at age 8 for cancer, for example? By the way, that was one of the emails that we had, someone really saying, what should I be doing? This was a 25-year-old.
This is a question that can really only be answered very specifically for the disease that they were treated for and the agents that were used to treat that disease. So we very strongly recommend that those individuals actually get an appointment with a survivor's clinic, meet someone who is a specialist in this area, and kind of have a program set up for them, which can then be followed by their general care practitioner. Much of the screening, much of the follow-up studies can actually be done by their pediatrician or be done by their internist when they get older. But knowing what schedule to set up, what plan to follow, is the complicated piece that we need an expert for.
Well, thank you. We'd like to remind our listening audience to email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu. And we're going to take a short break to listen to a survivor story. Please stay tuned to learn more information about the new treatment strategies for pediatric cancer with Dr. Jack Van Hoff from the Yale Cancer Center.
A few years ago, the diagnosis of cancer was a death sentence for many patients. But today, thanks to advances in clinical research, we're turning the corner in the battle against cancer. There are over 10 million cancer survivors now living in the U.S. They are the true heroes in the war against cancer. Here's the story of a hero from Guilford.
My name is Kathy. I am a cancer survivor, and I am the mother of three girls. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 40. I had had my baseline mammogram at 36, but with no family history of breast cancer, I was told to return when I was 40 for another mammogram. I got the diagnosis that no one prepares you for, cancer. But I was lucky. I was referred to the Yale Cancer Center, where I met Dr. Lannan. I underwent a double mastectomy in the summer of 2004. I still take tamoxifen daily, but have been cancer-free ever since. If there is one message that I want to convey to all women, it is to get a regular mammogram. I am a perfect example of how early detection is part of the cure.
This survivor's story has been brought to you by Yale Cancer Center.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Hsu, and our guest, Dr. Jack Von Hoff, who's an expert in the detection and treatment of pediatric cancers at the Yale Cancer Center. Jack, in a minute, we're going to talk about some of the latest advances, but I wanted to focus on something else, which is the family. I think, in general, pediatricians are very, very in tune with the larger family unit. And how does that play out in terms of how you treat a child for cancer?
You know, that's an absolutely essential piece, and really requires, again, a team of specialists that go beyond the medical experts. Our program at Yale and at Yale New Haven Children's Hospital encourages parents to room in, to stay with their kids. We can always accommodate one parent right in the room. We usually can accommodate both parents, although occasionally one of the parents would have to stay in a room that's nearby. That's a big part of it. We also have a social worker who is involved with each of our families and who can help families kind of deal with the whole rest of the pieces of life that they have to face when their child is in the hospital frequently, whether that be care for their other children, whether that be insurance issues. It really takes, getting through this as a family takes a lot of support. There are child life specialists on the wards to be able to work with the kids and give them things to do and distract them. We have visiting programs from anywhere, dogs as pets who come in and visit patients in the hospital, to a clown care unit that comes in on a twice a week basis, and many different things kind of make the whole experience better.
That's, you know, I have to say, you know what, we in adult medicine can really learn from you. Well, I think it's a great time to talk about some of the latest advances, and you're the principal investigator of many of the Children Oncology Group's clinical trials at Yale. And so can you tell us, what is the COG, and tell us a little bit about clinical research?
As I mentioned before, childhood cancer is very rare, much less common than adults, and there are fairly large numbers of diseases for whom there are only 1 to 300 cases in the entire United States each year. And so for us to be able to learn how to treat them better, there's no way we're going to accomplish a research study at a single institution. We're just never going to get enough cases to do that. So 25 years ago already, pediatric oncologists realized that the only way really to accomplish this was to form nationwide groups that then agree to do the same studies together, treat their children in the same way, and address the same questions. So the Children's Oncology Group is kind of the end growth of that whole process. About 5 years ago, a single group was formed that now covers the entire U.S., a few countries in Europe, and New Zealand and Australia as well. So there are over 200 institutions that participate in the Children's Oncology Group, and we're able to study many different types of cancer, including the very rare ones, by doing it in this very cooperative fashion.
So Jack, what are some of the really interesting clinical trials that, you know, excite you as being, you know, the principal investigator for the COG here at Yale?
So there are a large number of different studies, and some of them, some of the most interesting ones involve new agents that didn't exist just a few years ago. We now have the opportunity to study some antibody therapy and to add that in with chemotherapy. These studies are being done for acute myelogenous leukemia, or AML, where an effective agent, which is an antibody made against that type of cancer, is now being added to the chemotherapy. In pediatrics, we have had quite a deal of success with the standard chemotherapy agents, so we are not ready to throw those away and turn over to different things. But we are in the process of adding new and very innovative types of treatment to what we already have to improve on it, and hopefully, as the future comes, to decrease some of the more toxic agents and replace them with things that would have fewer side effects.
And if someone who's out there listening right now is interested in getting further information and gaining access to what types of clinical trials are presently available, can you give us a number or a website that they can go to?
Yes, indeed. So first of all, they can use the Cancer Center website, which you've already mentioned a few times. They can also use the Children's Oncology Group, .org, all one word there, is also a very good resource that gives the information that's available pooled together from a lot of experts.
Jack, let me ask you a little bit about a different kind of cancer that you see more in children than we do adults called sarcoma. Can you tell us a little bit about childhood sarcomas and any advances that have been exciting for you?
Sarcoma even in itself encompasses a variety of different diagnoses. The most common type of childhood sarcoma is something called rhabdomyosarcoma. And again, it's an aggressive tumor. Most sarcomas in adults tend to be treated on a localized basis. You perform surgery and radiation therapy, and as long as it hasn't spread, chemotherapy is of fairly limited usefulness. But rhabdomyosarcoma, like many other childhood cancers, is a rapidly spreading tumor. So our approach for them would be to include chemotherapy in every case, essentially. Same is true for some of the bone cancers, either Ewing sarcoma or osteosarcoma.
And it sounds like actually there's been a lot of success with osteosarcoma.
Yes, there has. And there's been success not only in terms of overall survival rates, there's also been success in terms of being able to spare the limb. In other words, not do an amputation to cure this bone tumor, but to take that part of the bone out and replace it either with a cadaver bone or with an internal prosthesis made of metal and plastic so that function remains good.
Jack, is there much in the way of research looking into, you know, the supportive care aspects of, you know, taking care of patients with pediatric cancer?
Yeah, there's a wide variety of things that have been done in that regard. We have actually at Yale done some studies in the past on the anti-nausea medicines and their effect in children. Some of them work equally well in adults and kids, and other ones have very different toxicity profiles when you compare children to adults. So we can't always adopt everything that's been effective in adults and immediately do the same thing in kids.
Well, if you have questions for Dr. Jack Van Hoff or for Healthline, I encourage you to go to our website, which is yalecancercenter.org, for more information about cancer and the resources available to you. Before we sign off, Dr. Van Hoff, in your opinion, what are the key points that you'd like to share with the listening audience?
I would say that the most important points that I can make is, first of all, childhood cancers are very different than cancers in adults, and even cancers in young people. Teenagers are different than adult cancers, and they should be managed by pediatric oncologists. Second of all, that we've made a tremendous amount of progress, and being told that your nephew or your neighbor or someone that you know has childhood cancer is not a death sentence. Their cure rates have risen dramatically, and many of these children are cured and live lifelong, very productive lives. Third is that the needs in pediatric oncology are extensive, and the funding requirements are also extensive. And by and large, these are not met by government sources. And so each area, our own included, has very specific needs for the support, the ability to do research studies in childhood cancer. And opportunities come by whereby people can contribute toward this, and I would very much encourage that.
Well, I'd like to thank Dr. Jack Van Hoff for joining us on Healthline.
Jack, yeah, thanks also for really giving us a terrific session. And remember, tune in to WTIC News Talk 1080 every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center. Our next program will feature Dr. Lindsay Harris discussing the new advances in breast cancer. Until then, this is Dr. Ed Chu.
And Dr. Ken Miller.
From the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
You've been listening to Healthline, a joint venture of Yale Cancer Center and WTIC News Talk 1080. Join us next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. for another edition of Healthline on WTIC News Talk 1080.